Welcome to the White House Family Spoken Novels Podcast, Holiday Edition 1. Today we're reading Chapter 5 of the novel, The Thanksgiving Letters, by Daniel White III with his wife Mariko White. Clement Fleming and Lacey Lovelace were married on January 20th, to the utter horror of Clement's mother. "She's definitely not my choice to be my son's wife. He's too good for her. I told him not to marry that girl, and that she would only bring him down. Do you know she works at some pent-up office doing secretarial work? She's definitely going to drag him down to the dust. Then he'll come crawling back to me," Barbara Fleming said, putting a strand of hair back into place. "Besides, she's very homely-looking. My soul, what about the children?" "Well, she's definitely his choice for a wife," Alexander shot back. "Look, Barbara, this should be the happiest day of Clemency's life, and I'm not going to stand by and let you turn it into the slightest disaster." "It could have been a happier day if he had married Antoinette," she said. "My advice to you," Alexander continued, "is to keep your mouth shut throughout the whole wedding and reception, and plaster a smile on your face, because if you say the wrong thing, I will embarrass you before everyone." "Well, I'll be," Barbara hissed through clenched teeth. "I'm leaving in exactly 5 minutes, with or without you," Alexander Fleming said calmly, adjusting his bow tie. Clement Fleming is the oldest of the Fleming children. He was his mother's favorite. However, as he grew older, he felt her tightening her grip on him, trying to control his every move. "Dad, I don't mind having her around, but every turn I make, I seem to bump into her. It's beginning to get a little nauseating," Clement complained to his father after she pulled him off his soccer team because of a knee injury. As a child, Clement did all he could to please his mother, because if he did not, she often said to him, "If you loved me, you would." He could never understand why, whenever Antoinette, a friend his age, came over to play with his sister Cambia and Cassia, his mother would force him to play the role of husband in their make-believe family. He could never understand why his mother made him accompany them whenever she took Antoinette and Cambia and Cassia on an outing. His mother tossed aside all interest he had in sports, saying they were too dangerous and that Antoinette did not want an injured husband. "Husband? Mom, who says I'm marrying Antoinette? I'm only 16 years old. I'm not thinking about marrying anyone," Clement explained to his mother in response to her statement. "Well, I am. You and Antoinette are made for each other. You two will be getting married as soon as you come of age. It's already set, and I expect you to comply," Barbara said. "I can't believe this," Clement thought, as he slammed his bedroom door. Clement Fleming and Antoinette Moriah were born a few months apart. Both their families were close friends and went off people who lived the high life. After observing Antoinette for several years, Barbara Fleming got an idea into her head. "Margaret, why don't we draw up a contract, some kind of agreement, for my son Clement and your daughter Antoinette to get married when they come of age? You know, kind of like they did in the Bible days. I think we ought to do it. This way we won't risk them ruining their lives or ours. Plus, I know you and I know Antoinette will keep me informed about what's going on with my son throughout his life. If he goes off marrying some other woman who I don't know, that's not going to happen." Margaret Moriah balked at the idea at first, but finally gave in to Barbara's persuasive words, as she was very convincing and bossy. "Barb, I think you will get along better with Clement if you give him some breathing room," Alexander said. "And what is this about him and Antoinette getting married? That boy's 16. Girls may be on his mind, but not marriage." "That's why it is on my mind," Barbara replied. "We have to make sure he marries the right girl, so we have to condition his way of thinking now." "Who in the heck is we? And what makes you think Antoinette is the right girl?" Alexander asked. "The we is supposed to be you and me, but you're so far removed from reality that I took matters into my own hands." "Meaning?" "Meaning Margaret Moriah and I signed an agreement, a contract if you will, when Clement and Antoinette were 10 years old, that we would groom and keep them for each other." "That is ridiculous," Alexander said, bursting out in laughter. "You can't be serious. So you mean to tell me that you have a 6-year contract that you and Margaret have signed and have been keeping secret from me all this time? I'm the lawyer. Why didn't you just come to me to draw it up and make it official?" Alexander could hardly stop laughing. Barbara turned red with embarrassment. "How can you laugh at something so serious? I'm talking about our son's partner for life. See, this is why I did it without consulting you." I see, Alexander said, taking on a more serious disposition. "But you haven't told me what makes Antoinette the right girl." "Well, her family's wealthy. We don't want our children marrying someone who lives below a certain income level." Alexander shook his head. "You're crazy," he stated. "Do you think we're better off than others because we make a certain amount of money? Have you ever thought that maybe, just maybe, Clement and Antoinette do not love each other enough to spend the rest of their lives together?" "That's why we're preparing them, honey," Barbara began in a pleading tone. "You don't have love and romance to marry someone." "No, you don't have to have that. Just choose the level of life you want to live at and marry someone who can help you maintain that level." Alexander could not believe the seriousness with which his wife spoke those words. "That's why we have to guide them into making the right decision," she continued. "And don't worry, Antoinette is also a very intelligent and beautiful girl." "No, Barb, you're not guiding our son. You're trying to control him and his life," Alexander said firmly. "Now you listen to me, and listen to me well. As your husband and Clemens's father, I will annul whatever agreement, contract, or piece of paper you drew up and so-called signed with Margaret without my knowledge or permission. So go on and tear up whatever you put together before I get my hands on it." Barbara only stared at her husband with a smug look. "And," Alexander continued, "if you don't loosen that stranglehold you have on Clement, he's not going to want to have anything to do with you as he grows older. You cannot continue trying to use your children to heal your past insecurity and the pain you have about your father dying when you were young." Thank you for joining us for this episode of White House Family Stories. You may purchase a copy of this novel and any other Christian fiction books read on this podcast from Amazon.com. Now, dear listener, please know that God, the divine author of all things, wants to write a great story with your life as well. But first, you must give him the pen by trusting him with the life he gave you and surrendering your heart to Jesus Christ as Savior. Here is how. 1. Accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 7:20, "For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not." Romans 3:23 reads, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 2. Accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." 3. Accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." The Bible also says in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." 4. Accept the fact that you cannot do anything to save yourself. The Bible states in Ephesians 2:8-9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." 5. Accept the fact that God loves you more than you love yourself, and that he wants to save you from hell. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." With these facts in mind, please repent of your sins, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and pray and ask him to come into your heart and save you this very moment. The Bible states in the book of Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Dear friend, if you are willing to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, please pray with me this simple prayer. Heavenly Father, I realize that I am a sinner and that I have done some bad things in my life. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all my sins. I now believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ died for me, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life today. Amen. If you believed in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, go to GospelLightSociety.com and read What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Thank you so much for listening, and may God bless you until next time.